Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning into what is for no reason.
This is weird.
Yeah, nothing related to content. I was going to say for no reason related to the content of the show, destined to be one of our more interesting.
It's a very nice sunset, though.
I can see it on your forehead.
I know. It's like pink and stuff.
Do
you want anything at King Burgers? King's Family Bar?
Yeah, it's like the peanut butter burger or whatever that thing was.
Yeah. Hang on. I'm about 3 minutes from Eastville right now.
King's Place. That's what it was called, right?
It is King's Place, yeah.
Yeah.
Or we could just stop at the casino. I'm right by the Treasure Island.
Yeah, you could. You definitely could.
In fact,
I don't know if I could take down the peanut butter burger anymore. I think I might be too old for that.
I bet you could.
I'm on their menu. For those
this
who don't
the
know,
first
to back
place
up,
you had that.
It's the only place I've ever had peanut butter on a burger. I've had the egg. The egg on a burger I have all the time. But this one had peanut butter.
That here too. Yeah.
Yeah. I get the egg semi-off.
Now I feel like I should stop. But
well, we do have a show
today.
I mean, listen, if you want to stop, just keep me on. Pop in your headphones. Keep me on.
For
those listening at home, two small details to what we're talking about. First off, King's Place.
Oh, where's Sam? Oh, yeah, go ahead. Talk about King's Place.
Yeah, he's commuting. Sam's commuting.
I figured it out.
He could have. He was worried about the background noise, which, knowing San Francisco, is probably a good call. King's Place. Would you even call it a restaurant? I mean, it is a restaurant. I would call.
I did call it a bar and grill or something.
It's kind of a dive.
There's not a lot of seating.
No, it's sort
it's
of
a dive.
Dive bar meets kind of burger joint.
The bar is in the front.
Yeah, 45 minutes from our house, perhaps, I would say. Maybe about south in a town called Meesville, Minnesota.
Population 103. I know that because I saw that on the way past it.
I was going to ask. I was going to Google the population, but I figured you were about to see
103. I saw the sign.
Yep. So a population of 103. But the population grows there in the summer on a number of nights because it's home to a pretty large, definitely very large for what it's meant for, town ball field. For those that don't know, that's a summer.
Shout out to JD Dobas, one of our players plays for him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Town ball is a mixture of a number of types of baseball, but think of it as amateur, anywhere from adult summer league to.
Meesville's mostly college kids. So.
Yeah. So it's one of the college summer leagues, which I have to talk about with you and Sam once Sam is on board. So, but we're talking about Kings and Meesville because you are driving through there as we speak.
I'll let you know when we get there.
Okay, well, you're not quite there yet, but we are literally doing this. We're waiting for Sam to get home. You and I are recording this with me on your Skype through your phone, through your car. Which
I can't even believe I, of all people, figured this out. Not that I didn't have help from you.
It was your idea, to be fair.
I know. I'm shocked.
To be fair, it was your idea, but we did do a test run for the first time in about 3.5 years. We did had a production meeting.
Yeah.
The one.
On the way here.
Inside of your car looks great. It's my first time in there.
Right
armpit looks nice as well. Very white shirt. Good job, Mom, on the wash there.
I can show you the dashboard. If you want to see the dashboard, it's kind of cool.
You're probably distracted enough. I'd rather you just drive.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was just trying to, I almost got into an accident.
I was not.
Trying to show you. My phone is wedged into this weird cup holder I have.
So you are coming home from a Legion game. Did you guys win? I didn't even ask.
We did. We crushed them. And in fact, one of the boys turned 18 and his parents were there and they're going straight to Treasure Island Casino as we speak.
Good for them. That's exciting news for him. Good luck. He will, knock on wood, probably win because that's what everyone does the first time. And then they actually lose following that. But as you like to say, we don't raise families, friends, and teams of quitters. So if you do lose, gotta get back out there. I actually have a funny story about that. I have a friend who went to a – he's from Illinois. I mean, you know him, Jack. I don't mind using his name because I don't think he listens, and Jack's a very common name. I think I have, like, a bunch of friends named Jack. So he's from Illinois. Had never gambled, been to a casino, anything before. He goes to Lake Tahoe for a bachelor party a couple months back and absolutely kills it. Wins tons of money at the casinos there.
Playing what?
Mixture of a number of things. I think they had started at craps. He didn't have great luck. Did really well on blackjack and then spread it around a little bit, but did very well. Made most of his money on blackjack, which is surprising. But he's a smart guy. Math wasn't always a strong suit.
Did you say he's never gambled before?
He's like sports gambled. He's never gone to a casino.
Oh, remind me. When Sam gets on, I got to tell you about my casino story from Bird Island. It's hilarious.
Sure.
Go ahead.
So he goes to Tahoe, makes, you know, does very well because it's his first time. And
yeah.
And we were like, yeah, that's basically good, like way to go. But that's exactly what happens. June 22nd. So this is now a couple months after the bachelor party. He texts us.
He's addicted.
Well, he went back somewhere along the way.
To Lake Tahoe?
No, not to Lake Tahoe, to the casino. I'll give you a guess how his second time at the casino went.
He lost $575.
He didn't give the exact amount, but the word he used was burned. He got burned at the casino last night. He said it finally happened. And I was like, finally, you've only gone like twice. Like, what do you mean finally? And then he said... And then, of course, he gets into the very logical, well, now I'm due to win, right? And we were like, yes, absolutely.
Right, so you got to go back.
Get back out there. So I don't know if he's quite gotten back out there yet, but good luck and Godspeed to the team member that's there right now.
I feel like I should maybe tell my story now, but Sam actually knows the people involved, so he might appreciate it.
He's only a few minutes out if you want to keep stalling.
Yeah, so I'll wait because it's a pretty it's not similar, but it's a funny casino story. That,
well, what I do, I have to spend at least 2 minutes for, as they like to say in the biz, station identification. So let me do that now. We'll spend a couple minutes.
Yeah.
Maybe we can chat a little Meeseville town.
Maybe
ball.
By the time you do this, I'll be in Meeseville, I think.
Yeah, you can double. Well,
unless they move the town. Because
if you pass the population sign, aren't you already there?
I haven't passed it yet.
Oh, you pass on the way to Red Wing.
Right. I just actually took the wrong turn, believe it or not.
I totally believe that. You're distracted.
I have no idea. I'm completely distracted. I have no idea where I just went.
Okay. Well, when you get yourself back on track.
What the hell road am I on? 316? Oh, there's a roundabout that... Okay, continue.
Well, you get back on track. Let me get our listeners back on track so they know where to find us. You like that? You can find us, as always, anywhere you find your favorite podcasts. Make sure we're one of your favorites. But most importantly, you can find us every Saturday morning live, sort of. Tape delay, I guess you could call it. But
yes.
Live on the air Saturday morning, 7 a.m. Central Time on WFNU 94.1 FM Frogtown Community Radio LP. If you are in the greater Twin Cities area, pop us on 7 a.m. Saturday morning. You can also catch us Sunday bright and early, 1 a.m. Can begin and end your Saturday with us on WFNU 94.1 FM.
I should have put the camera on and the maneuver I just made. Completely illegal. Could have got killed.
Well, that's.
But luckily, I'm in the middle of nowhere.
Well, now that's broadcast over the airwaves, I'm sure they'll come find you.
Oh, that's true. Oh, it's tape delayed.
Yeah, I'll edit it. Maybe I'll beep it out.
It doesn't matter. It already happened 3 days
true.
Ago.
Yeah, that's true. Your statute of limitations on the traffic.
Yeah, it's got to run out.
But we are just one of a number of phenomenal shows on WFNU, so always tune into WFNU whenever you're driving through the Twin Cities area. I'm not sure they quite make it to Meeseville, but if you are in Meeseville and still want to listen...
I am in 1 minute.
WFNU.org, or you can check us out on the WFNU app. Just go search for that in your app store. You'll see the little logo. It's a little frog with some kind of recording situations around it. But again, we are 7 a.m. Following us at 8 a.m. is Connor's Corner. What's going on with Connor?
Well, if you're listening Saturday, which most of you will be. We'll have a live show. We're going to be live last week, the week prior to this week. That's last week. We didn't have a show. Katie was out of town. So we will have a lot of live stuff, which we'll be recording tomorrow, which you'll be listening to. I can't tell you what's going to happen because you never know, so you got to tune in. But we'll be back live. Connor did a little... You there?
Yes, my computer did a little noise out of nowhere for some reason.
Connor did a little traveling, so we'll be finding out about that. Drew, I have big news. I am down to 30 miles an hour. I'm by the Little Vermilion Bank that we always comment. What a weird place for a bank.
Well, someone's got to serve the people of Meesville.
Yeah, all 103
before
people.
Before you say what you're going to say, I'm bringing Sam into the call, so I'm sure he'll
know
where you are.
Because, hang on. Look out the window, Drew.
I'd rather you not show me the camera. I mean, I'm appreciating.
No, look it.
Sam, are you?
Oh, my God, there's no one there. I should go in and get a burger.
This show, it might be officially off the rails.
Just went by Kings, and now let's see who's playing at Meesville. I'll show you, Drew.
It is a nice sunset. Sam can see now.
I know.
He said I wanted to wait.
Okay, there's Meesville.
Yeah, you really got a face for radio.
Holy crap, it's 8-0 and no hits. I don't know who's playing.
Oh, why'd you say that?
Because I don't care about either team, Bray. I told someone the other day that if I bought the Twins, the first thing I would do is fire Braemar, and then I'd start with the front office in Rocco. But, all right, I'm out of Meesville already. I feel like I should have stopped the Kings.
So, Sam, we're doing this because Dad is on the way home from Red Wing, as you know. So, we're through the...
Do you want to tell him why he's staring at my armpit?
Yeah, we're through the Bluetooth of the car, but Dad couldn't figure out how to answer the call without video. But if he closes his old man case, the whole thing shuts down. So he has to keep us open and on the video the whole time. Right. So we get to look at his armpit the whole time. And the inside of the car, which I said I had never seen before. It looks nice.
Oh, here.
Yeah, I got a...
And now he's, like, showing me everything in the car. It looks nice, but I'd rather... Well, there's no one on the road.
If there's any police listening, Dad is not using his phone while driving. Let's put that out there.
Yeah, you missed that earlier. We've already went over that. He took a wrong turn. He made an illegal move.
Oh,
I did. This is a new roundup. Why they decided to put a roundabout in the middle of nowhere, and I missed it.
So we chatted a little Meesville, a little Kings. Well, where you joined.
He's got a face for radio, as they say.
An armpit, too.
Yeah, it's my armpit. So I do have a gambling – Drew shared a gambling story.
We're trying to kill time.
So a couple weeks ago, I was in – I got to take this detour, sorry. I was in, as you know, Bird Island. And as Sam knows, tradition has it that on the Saturday night we go to the casino. One of the
I've heard this story.
Yeah, so I'm telling Drew this story. One of the coaches likes to go to the casino. Friday night he went, said he was never going to gamble again until Christmas because he lost playing blackjack. But then he forgot that we were all going Saturday, so he went back one more time.
Oh, my
God. And he just got his butt handed to him. So he's down about $350 total. And that's probably like Jack being down a couple thousand. That's the same in ratio. So he said he bets somebody that he will never gamble again till Christmas, which at one point I said, you just lost the bet because you gambled.
That's
gambling. No, sports betting doesn't. Right, sports betting doesn't count, which this is a side note to the story. When I got in the dugout tonight at the game, he had his phone out, and he bet on – I mean, you guys know all about this, but I'm like, why are you watching this game? He goes, oh, I bet that this pitcher would give up a hit in this inning. I go, you did? Like, that is about as crazy as it gets, to bet on an actual random pitcher in a random game in a random inning. But anyways – so he's down on his luck. I go, hey, come with me. And they were giving me crap for playing slot machines. I said, come with me. So we all go we go and we find two Buffalo machines. Now there's a couple parents with us, there's some kids with us, and I sit, there's two together. I sit down and I put $20 in the machine and I go, "Hey, sit down here. I'm going to get you all your money back right now. I can feel it. You're going to win it back." And he goes, "Nope, I'm done gambling." I go, "It's not your money, so you're not gambling. Just play it." He goes, "No, I'm not going to do it." I said, "Do it for me then. It's my money. I can guarantee you're going to get your money back." He goes, "No." So Sammy's buddy Fritzy says, "I'll do it." I'm like, "All right, sit down." He goes, "What do I do?" I go, "Press that button."
Yeah.
Presses it, nothing happens. Yeah, I go, "Press it again." And he goes, "What am I looking for?" And I go, "That." And the screen fills up with Buffaloes. He bets 75 cents, $350. I'm a dud. Now, the kid, Fritzy's dead. He's like, "What just..." No, the deal's a deal. It's his money. He's kissing me. The kid that would have had all of his money back and probably could have gambled again is like almost under the table crying. He's like devastated. Devastated. So much that we got home at like 2 in the morning. He got up at 7 to go to church. I go, "You should have gone to church beforehand." I'm like, "I guaranteed you were going to get it back. It wasn't even your money." He goes, I said, "You should never gamble again. You're right." Meanwhile, today in the dugout, he's betting on if a pitcher is going to strike, give up a hit in an inning. I'm like, where would you come up with that? That's crazy. Yeah. But anyway,
the church detail is a nice cherry on top of that. Pretty.
It is a nice. He did a good story. Right. I would. Yeah. So. Thank you.
So I have actually a small couple minutes I want to spend on. You mentioned roundabouts and then Meeseville. I spent a few days this past 5-6 days up in Cape Cod. They use way too many roundabouts up there. They call them rotaries though, which whatever. Past two
Isn't
different
that a Cape phone? Cod.
What'd you say?
Isn't that a phone?
Well, I think it's like.
It was named after the rotary phone.
Yeah.
Because it's a circle.
Yeah. But actually, they use them on like. Massive major roads, and there's just people whip. It literally looks like the one from National Lampoon's European Vacation. Like, it's huge. They're huge.
Big Ben.
Yeah, exactly. I made that joke the other day, and someone else laughed so hard. Not made that joke, but quoted it, and they were like, "I always do the same thing." I was like, "Okay, glad I'm not the only one." Yeah, past two different Cape Cod Baseball League fields. Now, don't get me wrong, made it just past the two wrong ones. Underwhelming. I expected them to be like big, nice, you know, town ball fields as we know them. They're very underwhelming. I was disappointed.
Oh, wait, Cape Cod League plays?
Yeah. I passed two different teams. The Orleans Red.
Some of them don't even have, they have barely fences.
Yeah, it was like one would look like a high school field. The other one was a little bit nicer, but really didn't have stands. It was the Orleans either Redbirds or Firebirds, one of the two. And the other one was the what was the other field I saw? The Chatham Anglers.
Chatham, yeah.
I wanted to buy a hat. They like don't sell their stuff anywhere, but whatever. Yeah, underwhelming fields when you compare them to like the likes of Meeseville and what's the Northfield one? Dundas. Been a while. Dundas. So anyways.
Even Red Wing we were just at is beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, they're underwhelming, which was funny because then I went and Googled. I was like, okay, well, maybe that team's not very good. They're like the number 5 summer ball team in the country. And I was like, oh, okay. No, the fields are just underwhelming. I have a few random baseball things that are not really necessarily Twins related. They're just like random things that have been bothering me lately about baseball.
Am I going to be proud of you again?
No, but because I've already kind of made that statement. We can talk Twins. These comments I'm about to make specifically are not about the Twins. I want to get your guys' thoughts. One, I hate how I've decided this about 3 days ago. I actually hate how the MLB calculates how many games behind a team is in the standings. And I'm going to lay it out very simply. The Twins are 2 games over 500. Cleveland is 2 games under 500. How many games separate those teams? Four, right?
Four.
Cleveland is 2 games back, according to the standings.
I know, that doesn't make any sense.
It makes no sense. And it meaning they're the amount, if every game goes in the favor of the team that is behind, yes, true, they're 2 games back. But if it doesn't, they're an infinite amount of games back. So what's, like, it's the dumbest way to calculate. It's been bothering me.
No, because double has to happen to gain. I agree.
And I feel like Cleveland's played like no games. The other day I thought of it the other day because we were 500. They were 2 games under 500. We had the same number of losses. We just had 2 more wins, but we were only 1 game up. And I was like, that doesn't make any sense. Cleveland has to win 2 games to catch us. Why are we like? And it doesn't matter, obviously. But drove me nuts. My newest pet peeve with baseball. I don't know if you guys have really thoughts. I didn't really need to talk about it much. I had to get that off my chest.
I mean, I can get behind it. I mean, it makes no sense. And to a person that has no idea how baseball works or how the standings works, they probably get very confused.
It just it makes no sense to me. Second, and this I want your guys' opinion on, because I don't know how strongly I feel about it one way or the other, but I was thinking about it the other day. How do you feel in baseball about every team getting an all-star? Don't jump at answering, either of you. My God. We're doing a show here, people.
I have a bigger
problem. Now you're talking over Sam. You're a mess.
Well, God, I'm in Hastings now. I hate this town. I got distracted. I'm actually not even going to – I'm going to go straight through to Cottage Grove.
I'm stopping at White Castle. The town if you're not careful.
Hastings does not like me very much, I can tell you that.
No, they don't like me either.
It's Sam either.
They don't like one of our –
Sam almost got into a fight there.
They don't like one of our most important listeners as well, if I remember correctly.
True. All right, did Sam answer?
He was trying
to – I was gonna say, I actually like it because too. I mean, if you look at it, I like it too for a fact that for another reason about the All-Star game. I mean, a lot of it's popularity contest too. I mean, a guy like Luis Urias last year wasn't even making the All-Star game, except right. Part of the reason he made it was because of the one rule or one person rule, which is so that. Things like that, I think, is very good because a guy like Arias, now he's very famous because he went to Miami.
Hey, I hate to interrupt.
People can't stop writing about him. What, Dan?
Do you guys want any broasted chicken? I'm driving by.
Casey's?
Remember the M&H, the broasted chicken place?
In Hastings? I thought they had a Casey's.
It's a gas station. It's not Casey's.
I thought it was a local version of.
Yeah, it's that broasted chicken.
That reminds me, on my way to Napa over the weekend, I drove by an A&W. Would you think there'd be an A&W in Northern California?
No.
No.
Although I'm not sure I would think there was one in Southern California either.
I literally just drove by an A&W when you said that, which is next
to the area. Where you are, it makes sense.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
But yeah.
Well, here's my thing. I don't mind that.
Go ahead, Dan.
Go ahead. You go ahead.
I was pretty much done, but I was gonna get to another point where it's ridiculous how teams have like three to four guys on a All-Star game.
That's what I was gonna say. I don't mind that each team has one. I think it's ridiculous when they have four. Like all of a sudden, the Texas Rangers suck. By the way,
no, they don't.
They've got like 5 guys in the All-Star. They're coming down as fast as they went up. They won't even be in the playoffs.
They are well. Here's the only thing I will say about Texas. You are semi correct that they are four. They've gone 4-6 in their last 10, but they have the largest run differential in all of baseball and are 51-36. Yeah, they're still pretty good. But your point about they may eventually come down to earth is semi valid.
Yeah, Houston's catching them.
Houston's for sure going to catch them. I do believe that. But I still – Texas is a team, actually, that last year, because they're in Texas and not the Mets, they're not the Padres, They spent all that money on those guys, and they sucked last year. Now, they're actually good this year, so people probably don't care. But so Texas does not suck, but they are not, like, four all-star starters good. Like, that's a little ridiculous.
Yeah, I have a bigger problem with all the players. But, I mean, do we even care about the all-star game?
I think
we do, because the Twins have, because Pagan's going to be in the home run hitting contest.
Yeah, you thought that was a good one, didn't you?
You did too.
It wasn't not.
It wasn't bad. I
was more making fun of you, but no, it wasn't not funny.
I don't know if Sam was on that one.
No, I saw that one.
Oh, you could have at least commented.
Well, Drew kind of put you down right away, so I was like, I'm just going to – I didn't
know. No, wait, Andy said good one. I was being a little
sarcastic. It wasn't
the only good one. I usually take it to be negative.
I thought that was pretty clever.
No, it wasn't. It was okay. It was just not your – like, you could have waited probably 3 days and actually said it after someone hit a bomb off him. He actually pitched a – you know,
The Twins are such a joke. It's not even funny, but whatever. Whatever. I mean, I turn it on for 5 seconds, and I see a guy's running and shreds his oblique and is out for the season.
Well, I think he heard his.
Dear God, these guys are fragile.
That same guy got benched for saying he wanted to hit like a rise. He was batting 400, so I don't think it makes no sense.
He didn't get benched. Coming off, to your point, he's coming off two ACL tears. They're just not playing him every day. And then he ironically heard something completely different, which I think
the next game, Rocco said he benched him, and then people asked why he wasn't in the lineup, and he referenced his comments about his team and saying he needs to have a better attitude.
I don't think that happened, but.
It did, but okay, I'll find it for you.
That's fine.
I think he did. I think that's a thing. I do think that something like that happened.
He did.
He got in trouble for saying that.
And then he did not play the next day, but I do not believe that.
Well, I don't even understand what was wrong with what he said. Why wouldn't you want to be like one of the greatest hitters in baseball right now? That's a bad thing?
Because
Rocco's an idiot, but we established
that. He also, because he said the Twins, the players have, he includes himself, they had bad approaches, and he wants to be like Arias and have that approach, and then he got offended because he thought Arias sucked and traded him.
Well, he's...
Yeah, he also got, we have bad approaches because of the frickin' coaching.
Yeah, he did say something about, like, he told the hitting coach he was going to, you know, just look to make contact, and then he didn't play the next day, but I also don't think it was related to his comments. I think
Rocco did say something about it, so.
Yeah, well, I didn't see that, so, but I'll take your word
This
for
is how pathetic the Twins are. Every time they lay a bunt down.
They got one down.
I know. That's 100% goes against Rock. Every time they do it and it works, makes him look even dumber. To a point where the other night they did a safety squeeze, and I had three different people text me that the Twins bunted, that they were amazed that the Twins bunted.
Here's what I'll say. They bunt a lot more. They've bunted a lot more since they've started struggling.
They're probably doing it on their own.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, listen, I don't think Rocco's any good. I think he is. I think I've said it for a while now, I feel like. I think the issues in the organization go deeper than Rocco. The hitting coach is a joke. I think there's genuine problems somewhere within the player development of the organization that have been going on for forever. Clearly the injury stuff, there's something weird going on there. And I don't think Rocco's good, but I think we are just at this point so mad about the underperformance of the team that we want to blame him for a lot of things that I think knowing enough about him that some of it is probably outside of his power, which is a bigger issue. And I think it's exhibited specifically by how much more he's letting his starting pitchers pitch this year. Last year was like, Rocco's got a quick hook. He takes these guys out.
He only did that because Sonny Gray yelled at him.
Okay. That's my point. Like, at some point, we can't just, like, assume it's always something else. At some point, like, we have to believe, like, he's making decisions. He didn't do it last year because the pitchers sucked. I almost said a word I can't say on air. The pitchers sucked. This year, the starters have, I think, the second most innings pitched in all of the league. Or maybe Pablo Lopez specifically has pitched the second most innings in the whole league. But the staff is the first. Like, they're really high in a lot of statistics. And he's letting them pitch because here it is. This was July 5th, so this may have changed, I guess, in the last day. Minnesota Twins pitching ranks out of 30 teams. Number one in ERA, number one in strikeout rate, number one in on-base percentage against, number one in slugging against, number one in OPS against, and this is the one I was referencing, number one in innings per start. He has good pitching, and he lets them pitch. Sure, if you want to say it's because Sonny Gray got mad and threw a hissy fit, fine. But at some point, we have to, like, give him so, like, there are changes happening. At some point, we have to give him credit for some of them, even though he is still bad.
We shouldn't give him credit for common sense. He has terrible relief pitching. I would leave those guys into the last possible second.
All of those statistics I just read you, by the way, are the whole pitching staff, except for the innings per
start. I don't care. The relief pitching's awful. They got guys
the
in there.
The relief pitching is top heavy and hurt. That I will agree with. Listen, I think the team, as always. Yeah, but he doesn't construct the team. I guess that's sort of my point too. Like,
they all the blame. I agree.
Yeah, he was given a flawed roster, and I think in many ways he's doing what he can with it. I still don't think he's very good, but I don't think it's like, I think he pinch hits too often. I think he cares too much about platoon advantages. But again, I think a lot of those things. Yeah.
He'll take the guy out in the second inning.
He wants to right on left. That's my point. But I do think some of that probably comes. I think some of that comes from above. Whereas, like, stealing more bases, bunting, like, at some point we don't have to give him credit because overall he's still not very good. But at some point you have to admit, like, these things aren't just happening by circumstance. So he sucks. I'm not saying he doesn't, but we can't just continue to every time something goes wrong, blame him, because there's more people in that organization, and not just from the staff perspective, but the player perspective, are very much so to blame.
I just got a picture of the 18-year-old walking in the casino for the first time.
It's not midnight. Oh, today was his birthday, not at midnight.
Yeah. I told them they made a big mistake.
Yeah.
That I was with my kids at midnight.
He had a big game today. Anyways, a lot of these things about the Twins and the org, we will never know for sure. My point is, there are certain things that I've seen change year to year. He also has a bunch of guys, because they're power hitters, which was a stupid way to craft a lineup, that can't bunt. So he can't really bunt that often. And even the guys he has that should be able to bunt aren't very good at it. So he's not very good to begin with. He's working with an inherently flawed roster put together by two people I think are even worse than he is at their jobs. But
you know what's weird about the whole bunting thing? They're so big on analytics, I just can't believe that that's not – first of all, I am flying home.
Well, there's not a car on the road probably. No, but you're not wrong. But to your point, the analytics show that taking the out is bad. No. Now, taking the out is not bad when your strikeout rate is incredibly high, but that's the gap.
Analytics show scoring zero runs don't win you a ball game, and the analytics show that striking out 80% of your bats don't win you ball games. So
yeah.
I don't care what they go by. I mean, to your credit, to your point, Drew, the players suck this year. There's no way around it. The coaching sucks.
If there's a guy on second,
motivation. There's their upper management, like you said, put us in a horrible position. Everyone sucks this year, and somehow we're 500 because of how bad our division is.
Oh, the division is like, it's actually an abomination to baseball. I saw something the other day. I favorited it so I could come back to it. The AL Central where'd it go? The AL Central has all five teams are bottom 10 in slugging, batting average, on-base percentage, or some combination. And by most, I mean Kansas City, Detroit, and the White Sox are bottom 10 in all three of those statistics. We are bottom 10 in batting average and on-base. Cleveland is bottom 10 in slugging and on-base. It is an abomination of a baseball division. And the only reason like it's even semi-watchable is we have, by many statistics, the number one pitching staff in baseball, and Cleveland, by some measure of some statistics, has the number two pitching staff, or bullpen, I should say. Their starters are not great, but they have the number two bullpen ERA in the whole league. So it's like, you want to watch runs, don't watch the AL Central, unless you want to watch the other team score runs against other teams, because Oakland just put up, like, I think, or no, Detroit destroyed Oakland today, vice versa. And Detroit's ahead of Chicago. It's the most ridiculous division ever this year, but whatever. How'd we get there from the All-Star rosters are picked stupidly?
Well, we
can't help ourselves going on a Rocco rant. That's why.
Yeah, it's just logical.
Is the NBA not proving right now why I hate them so much?
But I think you're not alone in that opinion. Yes, the answer to your question is yes, but I don't think you are alone in that opinion.
The Damian Lillard thing, if they want to be nice and trade him, fine. They don't just have to give him away.
They do. Did you hear about what his agents?
Well, that's what he wants. I know, but that's my point. I mean, give me a break. He's acting like that they owe him something. You know what? They don't owe him much. They've given him about $300 million. It's not like they owe him that much. Jesus.
What they owe him was building a half-decent team around him, which they didn't do.
I understand, but they didn't, so they should trade him. But they shouldn't be able to trade him.
I'm with you.
Well, Miami doesn't have what they want. I don't blame them.
But did you hear what his agent's doing?
Yeah, calling everyone and saying – like, he said he absolutely wouldn't play for the Celtics. I think the Celtics are better than Miami.
I saw someone quote, settle for the Celtics. The Celtics are the team that lost to Miami. Like, what are we talking about here?
What they don't understand is their team is very good. But in order to trade for Dame, they're going to have to give up a very good player. It's not like the roster is going to be the exact same when he gets there.
That's why Boston's probably like, I don't know, now that I know he's not, doesn't want to be here, and I got to give up all that. Like, I'm not, but to Dad's point, do they really have to give up?
No, but they're saying that they owe him trading him to Miami because it's the only place he'll go.
If Rudy Gobert can get 7 first round picks or the equivalent of it, Damian Lillard could get 15. So I don't know what these teams think they're going
to
do.
These teams know that he will only go to one place, and that's
right. So they're dead. I wouldn't trade him then. I'd say you want to be traded, that's fine, but we got to take care of ourselves too. We don't owe you just handing you to somebody for nothing, or give us some of our money back. I mean, Jesus.
It's just
what's so wrong about these guys cannot win anything on their own. They all have to go team up. It's not even watchable.
In 95% of scenarios, I agree. Portland failed to build a team around Dame. That is Portland's fault. But the result of that should not be we have to give him up for pennies on the dollar because he's forcing us to send him one specific place. That is the problem. And I think Dame for a long time was very loyal, probably overly loyal in many ways to Portland. And I don't blame him for wanting to, move on. They have not considered him and his kind of opinions and in moves they've made. And that's, I think he deserves that. So I get why he wants to leave. But the fact that this is the way it's going is, like you said, an indictment on the NBA as a whole, not just Lillard.
It just makes him bad. It just turns him into the rest of them. For a while, he was loyal and blah and had goodwill. And now he's making them. I mean, now he's demanding one team and one team only.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really bad.
And which Harden, I don't get Harden, why he wants
to... they're probably better off, but Harden wants out of Philly now. I mean, he wants, like, these guys want to go somewhere until they don't want to be there anymore. And then they want, like, Harden wants to go, like, it's the dumbest.
This is the fourth time he's requested a trade.
Yeah, him and Kyrie. It's like they collect.
What is Dallas thinking? Why would you resign Kyrie?
I don't even understand Dallas. I don't understand what they're thinking. It didn't work. Why do they think it's going to work the next? Well, first of all,
they signed, I think, Grant Williams, like $50 million, something crazy.
Luka's gonna demand a
trade.
They
signed Kyrie for $45 million.
Yeah, well, I think Grant was like 50 over a few years, but yeah.
I don't understand what they're thinking. It clearly didn't work last year. All Kyrie does is ruin teams.
That's true. Did I get fake Woged? I thought I saw Grant Williams to Dallas.
I didn't see that, but that'll give Kyrie like $45 million over 3 years. Makes no sense.
I think I got a fake Woged, or I just totally read something wrong. Because I thought I saw they signed Grant Williams, but clearly.
I thought they got him in trade. What team was he on?
Was he part of the trade?
I thought he was.
Grant Williams was on Boston. Yes.
Yeah, I thought they got him in
restricted free agent in the trade, yeah. Restricted free agent is finalizing a 4-year, $53 million sign and trade to land with the Mavericks. That's crazy. I mean, I
think they did it. They did it with three teams. I don't know if it was Indiana. Or I don't even know the other
team. The Porzingis trade. No, Porzingis was in Washington. But it wasn't that.
No, this was a separate one. No, it was separate. It was three teams. One gave up like a couple second round picks.
Yeah.
Another gave up a weird player. It was
It says a sign and trade. So.
Yeah, there's some weird trades. No, it was part of the trade.
Okay, I thought I saw that, but then I was like, maybe I didn't. And then I was like, maybe it was part of the Porzingis trade, whatever. There's so many this time of year in the NBA. Excuse me, specifically, it's impossible to keep track of. But that's the problem, because so many players ask to be traded. And it sets off this domino of these teams got to move people to create cap space. These teams get in on it just so they can get the extra draft picks to help create the cap space and blah, 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 blah. And it's like just – it's ridiculous. It's – I mean, it's fun for a little bit, but it gets exhausting to follow.
I know.
The Dame thing is out of control. He's going to end up in Miami. Miami's going to have to give up nothing for it. And I have a – something tells me that the Lillard-Jimmy Butler thing isn't going to work. But
They don't need – they both need the ball. It's not going to work.
And, like, I don't know. I don't know if Damian Lillard really – like, I guess Miami's constantly been good. Don't get me wrong. But they, like – the reason they got as far as they did in the playoffs was they shot out of control.
And everyone else, they caught everyone at a wrong time.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, Damian Lillard will always help. And it's like, you know, Miami's quote-unquote problems are just they got to the finals, so they don't need a lot more.
Well, the Timberwolves
Lillard, the Bucks could give Lillard. That would be a great fit. I mean, that's the one team I think
of course. Why would he? Why would he go? Like, because that's the other thing that bugs me.
Better than Miami.
Yeah, if it's about winning, going to Miami and forcing them to trade the couple depth pieces that they have, Miami is such a – I get like the whole like, oh, undrafted Miami Heat culture. It's amazing. Don't get me wrong. It's incredibly impressive. But by the end of that series, they were exposed. I mean, Tristan Thompson was like literally playing, and he had no business – or no, who signed Tristan Thompson? Yeah, they signed Tristan Thompson, right?
They have no fans.
The fans are bad. Didn't the Miami Heat, am I making that up? The Miami Heat signed Tristan Thompson like just for the, was that them? And then they actually played him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They also lost them. Their undrafted guys like carried him already. So they makes absolutely no sense.
Didn't Vincent leave too?
Yeah, he went to the Lakers or something.
Yeah.
So yeah, he just signed with
then
the
Lakers.
Then they're
going to have to probably.
I don't know how the Lakers can sign all these people, by the way.
Well, they left
and I think
a couple
Bruce
guys
left
go.
Too.
Not everybody's going back to the Lakers. They're just replacing, like we basically swapped identical players minus about 4 years with the Lakers again. The Lakers, why did the Lakers think adding more Timberwolves is the solution?
Because that trade actually sealed the deal for him.
But okay, first off, it didn't really like.
You guys want anything at White Castle?
No, I'm okay. I ate dinner.
I'll take some hot sticks.
All right, hang on.
But they went out and signed Taurean Prince. Like why? Like another Timberwolf is your answer. And but my point is, we signed Troy Brown. They signed Taurean Prince. It's the same guy. So that's an even swap.
I need four cheeseburgers, no pickle, no onion, please. A sack of fries, and a medium mozzarella stick, please.
What else?
A medium mozzarella stick.
I would have said to put us on mute, but I don't think he knows how.
Would you like a drink with that?
What's that?
Would you like a drink with
that?
You
can probably hear us too, is the problem.
Would that be all?
Yep. Thank you.
What were you guys saying?
Nothing. A warning would have been nice. I could, you know, I could have muted you.
I said, you guys, I got the mozzarella sticks.
Well, I didn't know you were literally. I didn't know you were going right now.
Yeah, that's the first time I've ever.
You know, there's a mute button, Dad.
There is. He couldn't get his video off. You think he can figure out how to mute and unmute himself?
You know what's weird? Are you guys there?
Yeah, we're here.
It actually shows the mute button on. That it is probably because I'm on Skype. It's coming through because my phone is muted.
Your phone is not muted.
I don't know. No. Well, I don't know how to mute it on my car. I don't even my cruise control I haven't figured out yet. And there's one. I don't know how to get my phone to actually ring through the car. So I might need help with that.
Cars are ahead of you in line right now.
Just one.
Oh, okay.
That's a first.
As I said,
it might be Bobby. No, he wouldn't come this direction.
I don't think he would either.
By the way, Bobby, turn the.
I was going to get to another point that I wanted to make, but go ahead.
Well, I was going to say Bobby turned a random show on and heard you ripping on him. Literally, the second he turned it on, you were ripping on him for letting mustaches in the state tournament. It was every time I turn it on, Sam's ripping me for something. I go, yeah, it's you can never you gotta listen to every show. You never know.
You can never miss a moment, you know.
To be fair, that's most people when they would turn the show on would find Sam ripping on them. So
yeah, no, it's very fair.
Hey, I mean, it gets the people listening. That's all I can say.
How do I get you these mozzarella sticks?
I think they could last overnight delivery with a side of beef sticks.
Yeah, I know. The beef sticks are coming.
I like to be out of town anyways tomorrow, so don't worry about it.
Oh, you are? Hi there. Cheeseburger, yeah, the cheeseburgers had no pickle or onion. Yep. Thank you.
It's ridiculous.
She's laughing at me.
Well, because she is like, this guy's on the phone.
No, I don't think they can hear. I just turned it up.
Another part about the NBA and NHL, the NHL and NBA free agencies can't be going on at the exact same time. I have no idea who's on who.
I was listening to another very popular sports podcast the other day.
And there's another one?
There's a couple. And they did a thing. I feel like we're going to have to do it in like 3 weeks for basketball and hockey. They did it, but they did it for NFL free agency and whatever. They just went through a group, like 10 or so, like relatively big players, and were like, do you know where this guy plays now? Because it had been so long since NFL free agency when guys go everywhere. And
oh, that's true.
Like, I mean, I think I remembered most, but like they were like, some of them, I have no idea. Like, I don't know where that guy went.
Thank you.
And like Thielen was a good example. I bet 50% of decently big NFL fans don't know that Adam Thielen is a Carolina Panthers. Right,
I only that's know because true. He's a Viking.
Thank you.
Right, exactly. Why would you know that? So I feel like we're going to have to do that for the NBA and NHL in like 2 months, maybe just be like, hey, I'll like run through a Wikipedia page of guys signed that moved in the offseason and figure out like, you know where this guy now plays.
I think hockey's that way too. Although that's most people don't even know what hockey teams are on anyways.
That's what we're talking about. Way to play catch up, Dad.
If you weren't too busy eating fries, which we can hear.
And no, fry. That's a mozzarella stick, to be honest with you.
Oh, it did look a little big for a fry, but.
Yeah. Go ahead.
But that's what Sam said. They can't happen at the same time because you can't follow them.
Well, right. I heard that, but I just said we need to.
Well, we would do it for both, obviously.
Yeah.
Also, I was thinking about, I mean, obviously the Wild literally can't do anything, so I mean, we can't even blame them for anything. But I was thinking about it. We have $14.5 million in cap space. That means we could have signed two very, very good players. We would have won the Stanley Cup.
We don't have, well, we have that much without a full roster.
Yeah, well, okay, by the end of it, we'll have like $10 million.
We have 16 players under contract, and I'm on their thing right now, and $8.3 million of cap space. You need 23.
Why couldn't we take a flyer on Patrick Kane?
We have a 14.5 cap hit.
He's going to be out anyways.
Yeah. The 14.5 is Parisian Suter.
Correct. And if we could use that to spend.
Oh, yes. Very good. Yes, of course. Yes.
I'm saying if we didn't have that, we would have the roster to win a Stanley Cup. It's 100%, actually ridiculous.
Yes. Sorry. I misunderstood you. I thought you were claiming we had $14
million. No. I'm saying we can't do anything because of that. Like, I'm not blaming us for doing anything. Yeah. We did. I'm happy we bought them out. They're horrible. But I'm saying we actually had that space.
Yeah.
With the roster we have right now and had that money to spend, we would win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah. Well, we probably.
Could we take a flyer on a guy like Kane, who's hurt anyways, who might want to prove himself?
Patrick Kane?
Yeah.
He doesn't want to come here, probably. He probably wants to play in New York.
He's probably going to be a lot more than a couple million.
Yeah. No, that is true. We have, like, literally, like, exactly enough money to fill out our roster right now.
Which honestly is probably fine because we have a lot of young talent and we can see who's good and who's not.
That's, I think, like, yeah, we'll break down the Wild as we get closer. But I think at this point you roll with what you have. You give guys a shot, see who makes it happen, see who doesn't, and that's who you move forward with. And you do that for the next 2 years. If you suck, you suck. Fine. Although honestly, I was looking at the roster the other day. It's not like that different from last year. Like, they should be comparable to what they were. They should maybe even get it. Like, if they're going to be average, they can win and they can lose. I won't care as much, but won't be disappointed if they lose. You know, I'll be excited if they win, whatever. But, like, they still have, like, a similar-ish roster. You know, they basically replaced Reeves with the exact same guy, cheaper and more Stanley Cups. And then, I don't know, all the other guys they let go only played for, like, 15 games, like, or had blown out ACLs, like, no offense to Mason Shaw, but I don't know. It's going to be basically the same team, you know, for better or for worse. You're just filling out the bottom third with, you know, a couple different guys. You're right. $14 million has gone a long way the last
That same years. Roster gets bounced in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, but my point is you do that, and you give guys a shot rather than fill in that roster with Dan Steele and – who are the other guys they let go? Like, you know, you give those guys.
Gone. Nyquist was good, but he's gone.
Yeah, I mean, those guys.
But he got like $3 million. That was insane, by the way.
He was good. I mean, he was never going to stick around, but because of the money. But he was good.
That's insane. He got 2.8 or whatever it was.
Klingberg got something huge too, which I was surprised.
Well, and Reeves got like almost $2 million. That was insane.
I love Reeves as much as the next guy, but. That was wild.
Oh, I would take Maroon at his price for Reeves at that price any day of the week.
Yeah, Maroon is going to get paid less on our books because of the salary that Tampa's retaining. Is going to get paid less than, like, the last guy on the roster. Like, if, you know, like Sammy Walker. Sammy Walker makes the team, which I hope he does. Pat Maroon will make less, quote-unquote, on our cap space than Sammy Walker. Which is,
by the way, Vinny Letteri, what a waste of money. He sucks.
He's not going to make the team. Don't worry.
I know. Why even bother?
Well, you need somebody to fill out the roster.
Not him.
I mean, he's got almost 100 NHL games under his belt. You know, I mean, I don't know.
That's surprising, by the way.
He played 30 2 years ago, I think, or so. Klingberg got like four. $4.3 million, John Klingberg. That's crazy to me.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Which
we think that's ridiculous, by the way, and these NBA schmucks are making $20 million. We couldn't even know. We couldn't even tell you that they were a person.
It's ridiculous.
The second round picks that we just took are going to get $2 million a year. Like, that's insane. But they have all that money, so they being the league. It's also smaller rosters, obviously, too.
I just dropped coins and fries down my seat. That's a no-no in this car.
We can hear all the crinkling. The crinkle-cut fries are crinkling.
Yeah, I made a huge mistake. How much time do we have left?
A couple minutes. I had something else in the NHL free agency I wanted to mention.
That guy's sitting in the driveway to finish.
Oh, yeah. Life's such a chore for you.
No, it's not a chore.
I don't remember what it was. I got sidetracked. We probably touched on it just like this offseason. Oh, I know what it was. Dumba still isn't signed, which doesn't feel, you know, it's what I'm looking for. Like a coincidence. Oh. Like this.
Well, yeah, I mean, it shows you that no team actually was willing to trade for him.
Yeah, right. No team wants to sign him without giving anything up other than some cap space.
That's why we didn't trade for him, because no team wanted him.
Dumba's still not signed. And then on the flip side, flipping over the NHL, Jalen Noel is still out there.
Yeah, why are we signing McLaughlin over Noel?
Well, I think Noel costs probably 2 to 3x McLaughlin, but yeah. No, you're not. Like, McLaughlin.
Hey, good news, Fond My Fry.
Million.
What'd you say?
Why are we signing him with all these other, when we're signing all these other guards anyways? Like, why couldn't we have just let him go?
No, to that point, McLaughlin right now is like our fourth point guard. It makes no sense to sign him.
The only reason if he barely to doesn't play, it's whatever. He's literally making the veteran minimum. Someone has to make that money. I wish it wasn't him. No offense to Jordan, because I think he sucks. Slight offense meant there. But if he's like, if players like him and he's not going to play because they went out and signed all these guys, including, shout out to our Philly correspondent, Jake Milton, are going to play that guard spot. I think Alexander Walk will play a bit of point guard this year. I think Ant will handle the ball a lot more. More of my story.
That's my point.
I don't really care who it is. Like, it's the minimum for the 13th guy on the roster. Like, whatever.
Which is fine, but to your point, to what we know what's going to happen. Injuries in Minnesota always happen, and they come in bunches. He's going to have to play a good amount. And why not? We know he sucks. We know he's going to have one good game out of 20.
Didn't we draft the guard?
8 turnovers a game. Why not use a shot on a young guy?
Well,
I agree.
I don't think there are very many good point guards that would make the veteran minimum. To Dad's point, I hope Wendell Moore, who is our first round draft pick 2 years ago out of Duke, I hope he gets a little bit more run. The guard they drafted at UCLA is still recovering from his torn Achilles, so I don't think
that's a shocker.
Well, he was the 52nd pick in the draft. I mean, why? And he was
Twins draft him or the Timberwolves?
He was the. He was the defensive player of the year in college. Towards
Dad, Achilles. You must really be hungry.
Yeah, Jesus. Towards Achilles,
I haven't eaten all day.
Towards Achilles what leading the? Up to the tournament.
And I actually not even eat. I'm trying to find the stuff. I can't even get it out of the bag.
He was the – we took him with the third overall pick. I mean, it's hard to really complain. People loved the first pick, that Leonard Miller guy, which to your point – like I think we texted back and forth about it. That was like – I had heard of him.
I couldn't believe he was there.
No, I'm talking about non-Timberwolves people. They were like, this is a massive, which, again.
Bag's empty.
Yeah, well, you got to get out of the car.
Should we take screenshots and post them on the Twitter account?
I think it records the video maybe, too, that I can go back and.
It does? Oh, my God.
I think so.
I know, but I didn't pick my nose.
Before you do anything else stupid, why don't you send us home? Well, you're
all home. Right. Well, this is another. I might do this again for a 45-minute car ride, hour car ride. But it's another edition of Apples to Apples. Stay tuned for the hottest radio.
Giving love in a family, though. We are family. future and our goals inside.